Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I'll make you ugly. As soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the office, we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you better run. Yeah! It's an earthquake up in here. Say, yeah! It's an earthquake up in here. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're about to witness is no illusion. And now we got the bass banging from here to Buckingham Palace. They're all moving. Hey Simon, we're backing them up, turning them psycho. Everybody rock, let's bring the house down. To rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you better run.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Thursday. So much happening today. We got the golf tournament is underway, Jeffrey. Do we have early results?
Jeff, I believe play began an hour and a half ago.
Began at 7:20. Play began at 7:20.
Let's just head over to the all-time worst app in the history of sports apps.
Let's head over to
the all-time worst. That would be the PGA Tour app for those that are keeping score at home.
Yeah.
Right now, Ben Griffin through 8 holes, 2 under, tied for the lead with Tom Kim, who's 2 under through 5. Will Zalatoris, 1 under through 6. Mackenzie Hughes, 1 under through 5. Austin Eckroat, 1 under through 4. Adam Hadwin and Cam Young, Tommy Fleetwood, also all 1 under.
So we have that going on. Head on out to the tournament. When you head out to the tournament, be prepared for a little bit of...
You think it's going to be toasty?
It might be I'm just thinking it might be a smidge toasty. I saw some report that said there was a expected heat index of 114, and it said... Please avoid outdoor activities. I'm telling you, don't avoid outdoor activities. Go to the golf tournament, which is, I think you have to say, an outdoor activity, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
But there are indoor places there.
Correct.
You can wander. You can find some shade. You can go get...
There's some fans out there.
Misty places and whatever else. And you can get yourself a chicken sandwich and a Pronto Pup. Jeffrey insists. Definitely. I always mention the Pronto Pup. And that'll cool you off.
My wife yesterday texted me. She's like, there's a Pronto Pup right by where our tickets are going to be. I was like, sweetie, I know.
I do still miss the stand.
Oh, for sure.
They have it in the...
My go-to was the one right there off 9.
So that is happening today. This is how big today is. We got the golf tournament is underway. In addition, we got the NBA schedule dropping today, Jeffrey.
Believe it.
2 o'clock, yeah. Just in time for your radio program.
Yeah.
You can be breaking it down.
W's and L's, baby.
W's and L's. Just go through it.
Convenient, unless Eric will join us at 2:30.
And Eric Hasseltine will join you at 2:30 to break it down. So that's exciting. We have Rob Fisher. One of my favorite breakdowns is the Rob Fisher.
No question.
Rob Fisher.
It's a go-to event.
Rob Fisher, he breaks down the schedule and he writes his circles
his
and
notes,
stars
like,
notes
the,
and notes and
the longest
else.
Road trip,
yeah,
the West Coast trips. He's got
no
it
one
all.
Breaks down a schedule No, I mean, our man Chris Harrington breaks down the schedule, but he's in Scotland.
It's also, he breaks it down more as a viewer.
He breaks it down as a, yeah, what are the, and he probably will, I imagine, will still do his star rankings of the games, which which games do we particularly look forward to? You know, we have this year to look forward to. Tony Allen retirement game.
Indeed we do.
Tony Allen number retirement game. Rob will break all that down. And in anticipation of his great work breaking down the schedule, and because Chris Harrington is in Scotland, and because those are the two who I most appreciate the breakdown of the schedule, today's Chris Harrington is Rob Fisher. Straight up at 10 o'clock, we'll talk to Rob Fisher. So that is happening today. We got the FedEx tournament underway today, and of course, the Candlelight Vigil. It is a Memphis institution, a Memphis moment that I have still not participated in, ever. I've never been to the Candlelight Vigil. Also an outdoor activity, yep. But one that happens at night.
Correct.
So probably a little cooler than the golf tournament. But I have not ever heard of Pronto Pups being sold there.
That's a fair point.
You know? So if you're measuring what to do with your activities today, there you go. So today is a very big day. In addition to all that, and I don't mean to like your mind, it's also Righter Than Right Trivia Day today.
Indeed, Jeff. And we have a, see if you can follow what we're doing here. We have a triple Black Birdies prize pack.
A triple Black Birdies
prize pack.
Prize pack.
Passes to the FedEx St. Jude Championship.
Oh, really? What day?
I believe today or tomorrow.
Today or tomorrow.
Correct.
Okay.
Tickets to go see the Black Crows at Bank Plus Amphitheater in October. That's October the 15th.
That's
exciting. Then also, Black Lodge is indeed closing, but there's still going to be one more 901 wrestling at Black Lodge. It's the final battle at Black Lodge.
Is it this weekend?
It's on Saturday night. So big triple Black Birdies prize pack. You get birdies on the golf course, you get the Black Crows, and then you get Black Lodge.
That was some sad news from earlier this week. That Black Lodge is closing. We'll talk to Kevin Cerrito about that. Really interesting piece in the Daily Memphian today about the role of Black Lodge in the sort of Memphis firmament that, started as a video place mostly, and then then they open it up as a gathering place for all kinds of folks, you know, all kinds of interesting shows, and you know, wrestling would be there, and film and everything else.
Independent movie festivals.
Craig Brewer is quoted in the piece today about Black Lodge and what Black Lodge has meant to him, but to so many Memphians. And it, according to the story in the Daily Memphian, like so many things, never really rebounded fully after the pandemic. So now it's gonna have 1.0 was Black Lodge as a video place. 2.0 was the Black Lodge as this community gathering place.
Entertainment center? I don't know.
And 3.0 is going to be something smaller again. Evidently he's not going away completely, but anyway, so, yes, we got Righter Than Right Trivia. In order to play, in order to prevail at Righter and get that fabulous prize package, we don't actually ask that much. We just ask that you play honorably. If you can best Jeffrey, knock yourself out. That would be great. Bring him down a peg. But if you can't, and you just want to collect the prize package by playing honorably and doing your level best, that would be okay as well. So we have schedule dropping. We got the tournament underway. We got the Candlelight Vigil, and we got Righter Than Right Trivia. All of that today. We also have some developments in the Memphis sports scene that we do have to talk about. Apart from those, one, the press box. Sad, wasn't it?
R.I.P.
I have to say, if you considered the original scenes from the destruction of the Liberty Bowl to be underwhelming. Just some trucks pecking away at the stadium. If you were expecting an implosion, you did not get an implosion early on.
Yeah, we didn't get the dynamite, whatnot.
As I said before, drawing on my vast naturalist background, you got the equivalent of pileated woodpeckers pecking away at the stadium and knocking some pieces loose. Well, yesterday, we had a scene That press box perched atop the Liberty Bowl. All of a sudden, it was really something to watch. It was, and I hope you've seen the video. It's out there.
I'll retweet it right now.
On social media. Jeffrey's going to retweet it right now. You do wonder, what were they chipping away at? You know, what were they chipping away at that made it fall? And there was a little alarm before it fell. But then once it falls, the cloud of dust, I hope those people were wearing masks, because it was an insane cloud of dust. And that's literally just from where I was sitting at the press box, I'm sure. Other people had their own personal clouds of dust. It was unbelievable. And it's funny because some people had written me and said, why don't you write a column about, you know, the nostalgia of the press box and all that's been seen from the press box. And I dismissed it at the time because it's not like a legendary press box or anything. It's kind of been remade anyway, like 10 years ago or something. And it's always been kind of a joke of a press box, honestly. Like, everyone just remembers.
It's not even in my top 10.
The dead bird carcass outside. Yeah. The most notable thing about it was never cleaned outside. Like, it was like, how can they not? It was one of the perfect examples of what is wrong when an institution is that the people who use it are so different than the people who run it.
Yep.
Right? So the people who use it, the University of Memphis primarily, would think have great incentive to have an immaculate, sparkling press box to impress the visiting press, right? Like, let's have this, but that goes through the entire stadium. Like, let's have it be first class because we want people to come back and buy tickets. This is where we play. This is our home. We want it to be stunning and sparkling and beautiful and efficient and all those things. And then it's run by the city, and God bless them. They do the best they can, but there's a whole city to run, and it's not their highest priority. And I don't know if you know this, Memphis is kind of strapped.
So we're not exactly sitting on a stockpile full of cash.
So they subcontract out the work, and it's kind of done, let's be honest, in kind of a slapdash fashion. So what you actually hope is that now that the entity that owns the stadium is the same as the one that uses the stadium, you hope that changes. Now, interestingly enough, they're still using the same people who run the stadium to run the stadium, to repair, clean, whatever. They're like, that was subcontracted out by the city, and that same institution is going to be doing it for the University of Memphis, at least for now. But we would hope that with the motivations more aligned, that we will have a more beautiful enterprise over there from the moment you walk in the gates. That's what you would hope. But I did not think about, you know what, I'll write about the grand nostalgia of this press box, because I didn't think anyone particularly, first of all, no one really cares where the media sits one way or another, and secondly, it didn't seem to me to be, as you point out, a legendary storied press box. Having said that, when it went down, what I was surprised by was I felt a little tug of emotion, and Memphis fans did too. You know, maybe it's just because that was the one implosion that we got, right? But it did ripple around social media yesterday, didn't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it was the first time where you had the something falling quickly.
Right.
You know, to your point, the previous stuff was kind of done as a process. This was, like, maybe there was some time, I saw some type of, like, little explosion. But yes, I think the fact that it was like when we think of a stadium knocking down, that was the closest image that we had to what we have in our minds.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Do you have a firm idea? So right now, on that side, there's the part that remains that doesn't have the press box atop of it, right? Yeah. The sort of the main slab section, and then there's these two giant slices that have been cut out along the sides. Is that it now? Is that what's going to look like for the regular season?
I think they're tearing down the
sides next.
No, I think they're tearing down the middle slab.
I don't think so, because they've sold seats in the bottom 25 rows.
Let me see. There's the seating chart.
This is kind of amazing. We got a game in
2 weeks.
Less, right? Is it less? No, two weeks and 3 days. 2 weeks and whatever, 2 days, yeah. 2 weeks and 2 days. We got a game. It's really sort of a race, and I'm sure they know the timetable, so I don't need to get nervous about the race because they know the timetable. They know when it has to be ready, etc. But this whole thing feels like it's going down to the wire to me. Anyway, it was a dramatic and sentimental moment yesterday when all of that did collapse.
But then so I don't see the option to buy seats in the middle, but let me see if that's because I'm trying to see if that's because they've already been sold as seats.
No, they're selling chair backs in the bottom there. In the bottom, there's chair backs
right,
on that
side. I
know
the blue seats are going to be there. I just didn't know if...
Well, don't they go... They're on that middle wedge, right? They're on that middle slab.
Let's see.
We need Ed Scott. We need Ed Scott on here. That's all right. Moving on.
All right.
The other news yesterday... That broke was that the Grizzlies are going to be practicing. They're going to be doing their training camp in Nashville. And just came out in the press release. It was interesting to me. The press release very clearly pointed out that they've done it before.
Yes.
Right? And because here's what happens. You see that the Grizzlies are having training camp in Nashville, and there is a visceral shudder, right? I think there's two, it comes from two places that are related. One is, there's that fear that has been here since the Grizzlies first came to town. Oh no, they're moving. Like literally, it touches that, doesn't it, Jeffrey? Isn't that what happens? Part of the visceral, and then even whether it is logical or not, we're going to get into that in a minute. But it's just there is this sort of it has been there since the Grizzlies came to town. Well, they're moving anyway. It was why people didn't want to build the arena in the first place, and it was much more prevalent once upon a time. But it is. When you see that, you're like, oh no, it just touches some deep primordial fear that you have. This is the first moment that indicates that they're going to be leaving. And then secondly, even if that's not it, it's just this visceral dislike of Nashville that crops up. What, Nashville? Why do you have to go to Nashville? Even if you know logically that it has nothing to do with the team moving to Nashville, you're like, Nashville? Why do you have to go to Nashville? So I think on two different fronts, and those are related, I think there is a, like if they had said, let me ask you, Jeffrey, don't you think the reaction, well, it certainly would have been different if they were moving to Rhodes, or if they were even Olive Branch, or whatever. But I even think it would have been a little different if they were saying they were going to practice in Little Rock.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd been honestly different even if they said they're practicing like Birmingham,
which they've also done, by the way. They had the Allen Iverson. I think it was the Allen Iverson year. They had training camp in Birmingham. So this is not the first time they have done this by any stretch. But I do think it says something about us as Memphians that it just doesn't set right. Don't you think that's fair to say? It doesn't set right.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know. I guess the bigger issue that I had with it is most of training camp takes place in the practice facility. The practice facility is largely going to be untouched.
Yeah.
It's not like they're going to practice at Bridgestone. They're going to practice at Innsworth.
They're doing work at the arena this summer, which is good. They're replacing the sound system. They're replacing the rigging or the whatever, whatever to help stage big shows, whatever else. They're doing work, and that is good. I can't tell you one. I cannot tell you for 100% one way or another, probably because I haven't discussed this with anyone over there, whether that is a, and they wouldn't admit it anyway, whether it's a fiction, whether they could just as easily be doing it and they're using it as a cover because they want to do it in Nashville. But let's put all that aside for a moment. Let's discuss why Nashville, and let's discuss what it could mean. What it doesn't mean is that they're moving to Nashville. I want to be very clear about that. What it does not mean is that they are moving to Nashville. As you know, and as we've discussed endlessly on this show, the money for the repairs, the renovation, the refurbishment of the arena basically has been, and Sam Hardiman has reported on this extensively, the money has been found, allocated, discovered, like it's there, right? They have enough money to do what they need to do to FedEx Forum. And so that's just a matter of figuring it out. It's very clear, and again, this has been within the last 6 months, whatever, we have written about and talked about this extensively, that one of the team's concerns going forward, significant concerns, is the state of the neighborhood, which if you were renting an apartment or a house, you would ask about the neighborhood, right? You'd say, well, let's say you're renting an apartment and you go to the apartment manager and you point out, you know, this is a very nice apartment and I'm glad, or I've been in this apartment. This is my room. This is my apartment in this big apartment building and it's fine. I like it. And I gather you're going to spruce it up, so I'm going to sign a lease to be here for a while. But there's these guys shooting down at the end of the hallway. Could we do something about them? If you want me to sign another lease here.
They were shooting in the garage.
They were there. This guy, yeah, and I had to duck when I was in the garage, and they're up to all hours of night playing music. And could we do something about this hallway that I'm on if I'm going to sign this lease? And that's very clearly one of the things they're talking about. Again, We there was a story about Jason Wexler leading people on Jerry Green, among them, council member who on this tour of the neighborhood, expressing all that needs to be done. So it seems to me there's a lot of discussions probably about that, about what else needs to be done. So the lease has not been signed. I'm going to venture to say that, and Sam has reported on this too, they're working on a memorandum of understanding, sort of the outlines of a lease. And then my guess is ultimately they will sign a lease. Would it be nice had they signed it already? Sure, of course. Would have been nice had they signed it already. I will tell you, there was not a great relationship between always the Strickland administration and the Grizzlies. And so things didn't move along from, you know, as quickly as one might have hoped. But my prediction is the lease will get signed. And by the way, even if they were moving, and they're not, Nashville's kind of fill up now. They're trying to get a baseball team, and there's no way to put a basketball team right now. You're not going to be the second tenant in an arena.
Yeah.
Honestly, the Grizzlies moved here because the Grizzlies were the second tenant of an arena in Vancouver to the Vancouver Canucks. I'm not telling you, by the way, that the Grizzlies are necessarily going to be here forever. We talked about this literally just yesterday. In the end, like so many things in Memphis, it depends on the health and growth and whatever of the city. You know, if Memphis can't pull out of its spiral in 40 years, will the Grizzlies be here? No, probably not. You know, but I'm not particularly worried about the Grizzlies up and moving, you know, when this lease ends. They obviously have to get it done. So why are they doing this? Why they could put it anywhere. They could put their training camp anywhere. Well, one reason is that they do need to be a regional draw, right?
100%.
In the end, Memphis ain't growing. And Memphis is a small city, certainly by NBA standards, and you want to appeal to the greater region. And so you want to draw people from Nashville. You want to draw people from Little Rock. You want to draw people from Birmingham. You want to draw people from St. Louis, for God's sakes. Like, they have to be a regional franchise. And lots of professional outlets do, professional teams do this. My beloved Buffalo Bills, you know where they do their training camp? In Rochester.
Yeah.
They do it in Rochester because they're trying to be Western New York's team, not just Buffalo's team. So it makes sense from that perspective. It also makes sense, I think, from a political perspective. We just talked about cleaning up the area around FedEx Forum. That takes money. Did you remember? Do you remember when the Chamber of Commerce put out that letter earlier this year,
yep,
asking for all kinds of things? And among the things they asked for, I think, I don't have that number in front of me, I think it was $50 million, or maybe it was more than that, for safety, right? Like that. And nothing ever really came of that. I think it just went away. But like, in the end, you know who, say what you want, Memphis is blue, Nashville is red. The state government is red. Nashville actually is blue, too. Blue tint, blue. But the state government is red. Republicans and Nashville and Knoxville, and they run this state. We may not like it, but they determine who gets the money. And if there is money to be had and money to be gotten, needed money, you kind of want to ingratiate yourself to the folks in Nashville. And so I think it's reasonable to think that that's another reason that you could be over there, right?
Absolutely.
Like, this is a critical moment. I suspect there will be more asks for more things, like just like we saw from the Chamber of Commerce. And so it makes sense to put from that perspective. I don't really think it's a leverage play against the city. In other words, I don't think particularly, although there have been, you know, they're still negotiating with the city over this memorandum of understanding, clearly, because it hasn't been signed yet. I don't think it's so much a, hey, look where we could go if you don't do this. I think that threat, to the extent it's a threat, it's never been, it's just always there. Like, if you, anytime in any league, if you are a smaller city, what you are negotiating against is departure.
Yes.
That's the leverage. The leverage is in Cleveland. We'll go to Baltimore, right? And no one even has to freaking say it. Although, honestly, you know, like, the leverage for the Wizards was recently, they want, you know, we're going to move to Virginia.
Yep.
Right? Like, and you don't usually, even if you're a smaller marketplace, you don't even have to say it. It's unspoken. Oklahoma City is building a new arena. Not because anyone ever said, you know, Seattle would like a team, Oklahoma City. You guys go, they could go back there or whatever else. It's just an unspoken. And so I don't think any part of putting this in Nashville was a, hey, mayor, we could go over here if you don't give us what we want. I think it was more, let's build our regional footprint. Let's appeal to the folks in the rest of the state because we need the folks in the rest of the state. And it is not at all, I don't believe, the precursor to anything. Do you think there was much, was there much fear dancing around about this yesterday? I was doing other stuff when this all broke. I literally, the first I heard of it was John Martin saying, Grizzlies are moving to Nashville, .. for training camp. And I kind of nearly drove off the road. But having looked into it and thought about it, I don't really think it amounts to much.
No, I mean, I think it's also important to note they're practicing at Innsworth. For those that don't know the history of Innsworth as an upper school, it's founded by the Frist family. You want to talk about Republicans that are influential in the state? That would be the Frist family. I mean, if you're trying to build, like, regional footprint, though, aren't you practicing at, like, a much more public place? Like, Innsworth's kind of out.
Yeah, I mean, they don't.
It'd be like practicing at Bryant.
The funny thing is they don't really. Fans don't come to practice. I mean, I bet they do one. You know, I bet they have an open practice. I don't really know. We haven't heard whether they're going to have an open practice over there, too. It would make sense to have an open practice over there. I think this is mostly regional footprint stuff. But does it make sense to ingratiate yourself to the people from Nashville? I think it probably makes sense to ingratiate yourself to the people from Nashville. All right. We do have a lot more to talk about. Again, we got Rob Fisher straight up at 10 o'clock. He is Chris Harrington today, and he will be telling us what he looks for in the Grizzlies' schedule. What do you look for, Jeffrey? Like, when this schedule comes out, what are the five things you look for? We'll take a break. We got to take a break. We're up against it. We got to take a break. We'll discuss that and more when we return. I will tell you, if you're looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union, and I can say this because we just opened an account at Leaders Credit Union. What they say and what I have been telling you makes sense because it's true. When you are a credit union and you don't have stockholders and you don't have to be making money to pay those stockholders, you literally put every cent back into better services into better technology and into better rates. And it's why they can do what they do. We went out and opened an account. We went to the Bartlett location to open an account. But you can go to honestly, you can just pop online. They got unbelievably good technology, an incredible app. You can pop online, open an account. And so if you're looking for a new car loan, or if you're looking for an auto loan, or if you're just fed up with your financial institution, go to a place that puts you first. It is Leaders Credit Union. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, Rob Fisher joins us straight up at 10 o'clock. He's Chris Harrington today, and then we'll be playing Right and Right Trivia after that. Just to circle back on the press box, Jeffrey, I think the most notable things I covered in that stadium, the SMU, right, that night, very clearly. Memphis beating Tennessee.
Yep.
I think we had a conference championship game. Like, that was big. But I think those are, like, just top of the head. Those are the biggest.
The Ole Miss 2015 game.
Ole Miss 2015 game was massive. I mean, as you point out, the other Ole Miss game, the D'Angelo
03.
That game. But I wasn't there for that one. I missed that one. A lot of notable things happened in that stadium, but hopefully a lot more notable things will happen in that stadium. We got the FedEx St. Jude Championship underway out there at Southwind, where I'm told it's 70 degrees with a nice little breeze.
Light breeze.
And it's a light breeze. It's really perfect weather for this. So if you're sweltering wherever you are, for whatever reason, there it might have edged up to 72, but it's cool, it's lovely, and you'll enjoy championship-caliber golf. Jeffrey, who's winning the tournament at this point?
Jeff, through 10 holes, Ben Griffin, 4 under par. He leads the way. He leads by 1 over Tommy Fleetwood, who's 3 under through his first 5 holes. Tom Kim, Cameron Young, Taylor Pendrith, Chris Kirk, Billy Horschel, all at 2 under. Justin Rose, Will Zalatoris, Mathieu Pavon is at 1 under, as is Sung J.M.
So Scotty Scheffler yesterday was asked about the playoff. And he said, and this seemed inappropriate, he called it silly. He called it silly. He said, how can you call it a season-long race when it just comes down to how you do in the playoff?
Right. When really in the Tour Championship.
Right. And really, right, exactly, in the Tour Championship. And of course, he will be, you know, golfer of the year. He will be player of the year this year, almost certainly, no matter what happens in the playoff. But
I guess you could talk me into if Xander wins the FedEx Cup.
Maybe.
But
what he's really, like, that same logic would suggest that if the undefeated New England Patriots had a great season but hadn't lost to the Giants,
just
this
for instance,
is unfair. Just to take one that's close to your heart, This is unfair. How can you call it a season-long championship when Giants can have one great game at the end, put it together at the end, and beat the equivalent of Scottie Scheffler? Makes no sense. Well, that's how a playoff works. It's how playoff works. It's how the NCAA tournament works. It is how playoffs work. If what you're saying is, in an individual sport, playoffs make no sense, that's certainly not the way we think about individual sports. We think about individual sports as how many majors can you collect, whether it's tennis or golf. We think
Absolutely.
About it the same way. We don't think of a quote-unquote playoff for individual sports. Same thing with auto racing, really, right? Do we think, did you win the Daytona 500? Or do you think of the season champion
It depends more on what type of racing. Like in Formula One, I think of who won the championship rather than who won Monte Carlo.
And is there a quote unquote playoff? It's who won the last race is the champion.
No, Formula One is just total race.
Season long. That's different. It's like having baseball if instead of actual playoffs, Scotty Scheffler is suggesting that baseball should just play a whole season and then figure out who was best. So, and that's who was best. But that's not a playoff. If you have and so what he's really saying, it's not the way the playoff is structured is silly. Just the idea of a playoff in an individual sport is silly.
I took what he was saying as calling it the season-long race was silly. Because his point was, I've played the entire season. If I get to the Tour Championship and my neck flares up, and unlike at the Players where I was able to kind of work through it and keep playing, I have to withdraw. Well,
That of course, is no different than the team that plays a full season, gets to the Super Bowl, loses their quarterback, and has to withdraw, and then they lose.
Right.
No,
so
literally no different.
What I'm saying is he seemed to...
That's a season-long race to the Super Bowl, isn't it?
I think he seemed to be more annoyed by the marketing,
phrasing,
the branding, the calling of this the season-long race. And he's like, it's not really a season-long race. I kind of got the sense that he's like, this is its own thing. It is a playoff, but the idea that it's a season-long race, because his point was, it doesn't matter what happened in the season. What matters is what happens here.
And that's a little bit true of any playoff.
100%.
Okay, we talk about that in the NBA, right? The only reason that in the NBA, what's interesting, though, is that in the NBA, when we talk about it that way, we come from the perspective of, okay, the playoffs really are the only thing that matters, and the season is devalued and doesn't really matter,
yep,
right? Whereas here, he's flipping it around.
Correct.
He's saying the season is the only thing that matters, where and the playoffs are kind of meaningless. It's just a little gimmick at the end.
It's a cash grab.
It clearly, they have not in both of those sports. In the NCAA tournament, the season creates your seeding and your opportunity to win. That's what it does. And then, but what is ultimately you're celebrated is what happens in the playoff. Here too, the season creates the standings, and you know you're going to get an extra stroke if
right,
he's leading going in Atlanta, right? So it is in fact the same way it works in team sports. It just seems odd in a individual sport.
And to your larger point, an individual sport that's largely defined by four tournaments,
right,
none of which are these.
Okay, we did have other news in the locally and in the NBA yesterday. We learned that Danielle Vera Tuck would not be playing this year. Really interesting story by Parth. His dad, who is a great name. His dad has a great name. His dad's name is Mac Tuck.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's a great name, Mac Tuck. They're going to sue. The reason he's not eligible, he is academically ineligible to play, and that is why he will not be suiting up for the Memphis Tigers. But, and it's because of misadvisement. And I'm just going to go ahead and say that there may well have been misadvisement by the school that he was enrolled in. But there was also misadvisement to have him enroll in that school.
Yes.
Maybe, and most certainly likely, by Mac Tuck himself.
Yeah.
Because the school that he was going to was a online school named Imagine Learning Excellence Academy. It's an Arizona-based academic institution where Vera Tuck had taken online classes the past 2 years. And now that they are trying to get the school to acknowledge the errors and misadvisement, have him take a class twice, didn't get enough credits, whatever else, the school has, according to Mac, disappeared.
No way.
Jeffrey, it just disappeared. The school, this is according to the story in the Daily Memphian by Partha Pandey, the school has disappeared, Jeffrey. And so I'm going to just say,
where'd it go?
He may have been misadvised by the folks at Imagine Learning Excellence Academy, but he was also misadvised by whoever told him to go to Imagine Learning Excellence Academy.
Yes, and the other thing that I'm...
Craziness.
The other thing I've noticed, there seems to be a lot of when I go to a similar type school, well, I was misadvised. Shouldn't the first question be, is this school accredited?
Yeah, why the hell did you go to this school?
Yeah.
I mean, this goes back to John's story yesterday, you know? I'm sounding like you're going to go to your local high school. You know, I bet they won't misadvise you. You know, I bet there's a guy, and they're overwhelmed too. I'm sure wherever they are, they're overwhelmed. They got a million things to focus on, but they've been figuring out how kids graduate from high school for decades, and they can probably do it again. But Imagine Learning Excellence Academy, emphasis on imagine, probably not so great at doing that. If you're in school and don't really want to be in school, and that's the whole idea, and here's the other thing. My biases are going to come out here. Online classes in high school? Seriously? Seriously?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Seriously? Go to school. Go sit in a classroom. Pay attention to the teacher at the front of the classroom and get grades and stuff. And they'll take attendance and they'll see that you're actually there and do that. And don't come at me with imagine learning
excellence. The trend also seems to be, we saw this with... Was it DeAndre? Like, everyone seems to want to blame, like, oh, well, we got bad advice, so therefore we made a bad choice, so you shouldn't hold us accountable.
No, you're also ultimately responsible.
Correct.
You're responsible for making sure you got the great credits. And it really is as important, you know, as your foul shooting. You know, make sure you have the right credits. And everyone wants to throw the school under the bus.
Right.
By the way, school might be well deserved to be under the bus, but again, you also picked that school.
Did they force you to go at gunpoint?
No. Okay. Other news around the globe. We had the Patriots.
This has to warm your heart. They're sellers even before the season.
Matthew Judon traded to the Atlanta Falcons for a third. I like this for both teams.
Yeah, I agree.
He's 32 years old. He's 32 years old, and he missed last year with an injury. Now, mind you, the Pats are going to suck, but they know they're going to suck, and they're embracing sucking. And I hate to say it, I think it's smart. So it doesn't necessarily warm my heart, because here's what the Pats are doing. Pats are looking up, and they're seeing, ooh, there's Buffalo up there. And, there's the Dolphins up there. And, ooh, even the Jets. You know what we're going to do? We're going to suck. We're going to suck. And we're going to suck very effectively. And we're going to suck whether we want to or not. And so the only person who's probably against this is Jerod Mayo, right? Who is
probably,
looking like he may well be the interim. Like, he may turn out to be an interim coach. He may be the coach for the bad years before they get serious again. Because what the Pats are doing now very clearly is they're accumulating draft picks, draft capital. They're letting the other teams rule the AFC East for a while, and then in 3 years, they're going to, or 2 years, or whatever it is, they're going to try to win again.
Yeah.
Right now, the only player they had last year with more than 5 sacks was Christian Barmore, and of course, he's out with blood clots.
Yeah.
And so they are going to suck, but they want to, right? Good for them.
I mean, with the obvious caveat, I know it was a preseason game. But I'm telling you, when I watched that Panthers-Patriots preseason game last week...
Good for you, man.
That was like watching a different sport in a bad way. Like, you just realize, like, oh, these
teams are terrible.
Suck.
These teams terrible. Yeah, okay, so good for them. They know what they're doing. Matthew Judon is going to the Falcons. And the Falcons, by contrast, they do not want to suck.
Correct.
And they have sucked for a long time. And they've accumulated... picks, and they've traded for they already said, you know, every once in a while when you wonder whether the Cowboys should, what they should do with Dak, for example, right? And you're like, because we're not going to win a Super Bowl with Dak, so is being good enough? Why should we even try to be good? Maybe we should reload, right? Maybe we should stop trying to be really good, just good, and then you see a team like Atlanta. I don't think they have any illusions that they're Super Bowl contenders. They're like, let's just be good again. Let's just be good. Let's just, like, if we could have the regular seasons that Dallas has had the last three, you know, whatever it has been,
yeah,
we'll take that. And we'll take it. And so we'll go get a B-plus, A-minus quarterback.
Yep.
And now we're going to go to 32-year-old pass rusher. And we're going to make the playoffs. We're in a crappy division. We can make the playoffs. It is time, ladies and gentlemen. And so they have had, in the last 5 years, fewer sacks than anyone in the league, 138. And not just fewer by a wide margin.
Yes.
Like 21 sacks, I think it's the Raiders who are the next closest. It's crazy. And so I ask you, Are the Falcons going to win that division?
I still think I kind of like the Bucs, but the Bucs are going to have to play a first-place schedule. I'll say give me the Falcons, but I don't have – that is not with a great sense of confidence.
Yeah, I think I like the Falcons. And then we had Aaron Judge, fastest to 300 home runs. He has 43 on the season. So Ralph Kiner did it in 1,087 games. He was the previous fastest to 300 home runs. Aaron Judge, 955. Babe Ruth did it in 3,830 at-bats. Aaron Judge did it in 3,431 at-bats. He is averaging 51 home runs per 162 games. So at this rate, if he can continue to smack them at this rate, he will hit 500 in his age 36 season. It's hard to predict injury, right? But barring injury, he will be the next 500 home run guy, won't he?
Yeah. The thing that it kept making me thinking about, though, is I don't think we're ever going to see somebody hit 700 again.
No, that's a long way away.
You know what I mean?
That's a long way away.
Like, that's still another 200 home runs, and you'd have to be asking him to do it.
So the current leader in the... The current leader, there's 13 active players who have 300 home runs, which is actually more than I would have guessed. The leader is Giancarlo Stanton with 422. But I think we're a long way from seeing 700 again. Did you see the other story at the Daily Memphian about the F up? God, I hate.
What do we do?
Well, no, it's what they did over at the DA's office.
I don't know.
And I'm kind of sympathetic. You know how when you respond to a text and you think you're just responding to one person, you respond to everybody, or when you hit reply all on an email or whatever else?
Like, yeah.
Technology is so perilous, right?
Well, and it's just one click of the button.
And one click of the button, and then you just, it's not coming back. You know, you've done it.
The one that gets me usually is I'll get, because, you know, you and I are in a profession where people communicate with us a lot.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm responding to Aaliyah, and I'm responding to you. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that happens, too.
Yeah.
And then very recently, another problem which you witnessed, because this happened. I didn't realize, I didn't know how to do this. I did not. I'll fill up a text message.
Yep.
With my audio, with my voice recording.
Yeah.
Like, I won't realize I'm recording.
The fat finger with the microphone.
And I'll have a message to you, because I was talking to Fishman on the phone,
yeah.
And it will be 72 paragraphs long.
Yeah.
Right? And previously when I've done that, I didn't know how to erase it all at once, so I just have to hit delete, 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 and it scrolls backward and backward and backward. But I've been talking to Fishman for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And so occasionally now, I'll just send people text messages that are 72 paragraphs long.
Right.
They were voice to text stuff that I did. There's a way to delete that all in one fell swoop?
Yeah. So what I do is I hit it when that, because I have the same thing happen as well. Hold down, like in the middle of the text.
Uh-huh.
Hold it down, and then it'll give you the option to select all. Then select all. And,
see, there you go.
Back
so now I'll do that. But anyway, this all is apropos of what happened at the DA's office, where someone sent out a spreadsheet that included the names, birthdays, social security numbers, and if the employee was terminated, why they were terminated. They sent this regarding 300 former employees. So you got an email with.
So who did it go to?
Names,
who did the email go to?
Birthdays, social security numbers, and if the person was terminated, why the person was terminated for 300 former employees. This story by Julia Baker from the Daily Memphian It was inadvertently distributed via email to current employees of the office. So basically, all current employees of the office, it sounds like, got this about former employees. The spreadsheet was sent Monday, August 10th. What does this mean? As the second tab on another sheet that listed employees who had not completed training. That's another HR curse.
My interpretation of that is that they intended to send the one spreadsheet.
They intended to be scolding you because you hadn't taken Odyssey yet. Whatever the hell,
whatever the hell Odyssey is.
And instead, so they sent that. The following employees, if you are on this list, make sure you take Odyssey. And so that's a list of 32 employees. By the way, if I don't know that I need to know the names of the other employees who haven't taken Odyssey either, for that matter. But then there was another tab, another attachment sent inadvertently that listed all these former employees. And by the way, as it points out in the story, the person who sent this wasn't even supposed to have that. Like, why should they know if someone was terminated?
Right.
It wasn't, you know, it wasn't HR. This wasn't sent out supposedly by HR. So Steve Mulroy says, while it appears the email was only distributed internally, we're taking additional steps to ensure that's the case. We've already notified current employees and are reaching out to any affected former employees. The former employees are mad, and I think it's appropriate, but it's just, honestly, I have a little sympathy here. I think it's the kind of F-up that happens in modern technology.
Yeah, you do wish that there were some type of device of, if you're transmitting sensitive material, like, could you get a prompt? Are you sure?
Are you sure
you want to send this?
Could we have a device that lets people suck things back? You know,
once it's gone, it's gone. Yeah.
They got it. All right, we got Rob Fisher coming up next. He is Chris Harrington today. And then we're going to play Righter Than Right Trivia. Fabulous prize package, Righter Than Right Trivia today. So Kevin Cerrito will join us for that. Rob Fisher, you think he has his game face on?
Oh, yeah. This is
a big day for Rob.
Huge day.
He breaks down the schedule better than anyone else breaks down the schedule. I also want to talk to him about an event that he's involved in that's near and dear to his heart. So we'll talk to Rob coming up next. Before then, I will tell you, if you have something you need framed, take it to the aptly named Frame Corner. Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue. Walk in and buy a frame. Frames are beautiful. When you frame something, it looks... But what they're really good at is custom framing. When you got no idea how to make this look beautiful, or it's something that's really important to you, so you really, really want it to look beautiful, the professionals are going to do it better than you are. And so you can bring in your collection of arrowheads, you can bring in your collection of fishing lures, you can bring in your wedding photos, you can bring in your sports memorabilia, and they will make it. They'll make it something that'll last forever. It's the Frame Corner, framecornermemphis.com, 5035 Park Avenue. Rob Fisher coming up next, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Rob Fisher. Rob Fisher, of course, sideline reporter for the Memphis Grizzlies. Schedule dropping today. That's a big day for Rob. He breaks down the schedule like nobody else. I want to talk to him about that for a moment. But before we do that, Rob, I know that the Angel program is near and dear to your heart, and I know there's a 5K raise money for this, and it's happening this weekend?
That's right. Coming up on Saturday, 8 a.m. Saturday morning at Holy Rosary. It's the Memphis Runs for Autism 5K that benefits the Angel program at Holy Rosary, which is a great program, and as you mentioned, is near and dear to my heart. My son, who is now in third grade at Holy Rosary, he started over there when he was in 2K, and he was an Angel student over there on the autism spectrum, and they've done amazing work with him. And their goal is to take kids on the spectrum and put them in a typical classroom and make them feel comfortable. And it's amazing what they've done for him and what they've done for so many kids. And it's a program that needs help and needs money and to function. And this is their big event of the year. It's their 5K on Saturday morning, and to sign up for the 5K, all you have to do is go to MemphisRunsForAutism.com, MemphisRunsForAutism.com, or you can even stop by Holy Rosary. Tomorrow night, they'll have a food trucks. They got five different food trucks will be there. They got beer. They got wine. From 4 to 7, you can register and pick up your packet for the race, and then from 5 to 8, they got the food trucks, drinks, music, kids' games as well. So you can do that on Friday, or just show up a little early for the race on Saturday, and you can register then as well. Come on by Holy Rosary. I'll be out there Saturday morning, and looking forward to it. It's always a great event and always for a great cause.
If people want to go to MemphisRunsForAutism.com, you can also just donate. I believe that's possible, too, isn't it, Rob? I think it is, yes.
I think they call people like me spirit runners.
So I, by the way, I don't want to, boast, but I once won my age group in the Runs for Autism, and I don't think I'm going to be challenging this year to win my age group. But it is a great event. Just Rob, just by way of background, one of my three sons is on the spectrum as well, and everyone's experience is different with that. When did you know how did it come to pass that you knew that you had a child who was on the spectrum? And then what was it like in terms of figuring out the best path forward and resources and how to go forward?
We found out, he was diagnosed when he was 2. There were a lot of signs. And I think when we talk about autism awareness, that's one of the things that is so important for parents to look for the signs, and if you see them, to try and get early intervention. The earlier you can diagnose autism, the earlier you can get therapy and start going for help, the better, and the better off it can be for your son. And with my son, you know, we found out at an early age. We got him started quickly, and I mean, I give all my credit to my wife. I mean, she knew some great doctors in town. She knew some great therapists in town, and she was able to get us in immediately and get him started on the right path. And it made all the difference in the world. It was scary, you know, I mean, because you don't know, and you start thinking about his future and what his future is going to be like growing up and as a young adult and as a young teen and things of that nature. But you know, to get him started with that early intervention like we did, it really helped get him on the right path, get him in school, and it's worked remarkably well. There are great places here in town for ABA therapy and everything with autism that there are people that can help. And you know, I've always been one that I always say, hey, reach out to me on Twitter and I can help. I can ask my wife. She's the one that really did all the work. So, you know, and can help people that way. But because I think for parents, when you do find out, it's frightening. It's scary because you just don't know what's in store. And, you know, we've been blessed that Colton is doing really well, and he's in a typical classroom. He doesn't even have a shadow anymore. So he's just functioning as a typical child in third grade. And it's quite remarkable how far he's come. I mean, this is a kid that he wouldn't go say hi to anybody when he was little. And now he just goes up to people and says hello and introduces himself and is very engaging. And that was one of the biggest problems that we had with Colton when he was younger, was that social engagement. But where he's at now has been, it's pretty remarkable.
Well, it's wonderful that there are programs like that at Holy Rosary. Again, you can go to the website, MemphisRunsForAutism.com, and contribute. I'll also say that I am, the challenges continue, and they continue right into college and then when you're trying to get a job. And I'm on the board of an organization called STARS, which is really based out of Christian Brothers, and it helps kids. And for anyone, by the way, who's kids on the spectrum, I would urge them to look into it. It helps kids who are in the university setting figure that out. Kids who are on the spectrum, who are trying to figure out how to go to college, how to successfully be at college, and then critically, how to get jobs after being in college. And the folks over there do an unbelievable job with it. It is, I think, an underprivileged, underpublicized sort of program. But the it's critical that they get kids get an early start. But these challenges continue right on through you know, trying to get and hold a job. And so I'm thrilled that you're involved with this, Rob. Thanks very much. And and I urge anyone to get out there and run or to contribute. Onward to the Grizzlies.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Yeah. Onward to the Grizzlies. Yeah. So
the Grizzlies. I thought we were gonna talk about the vigil. You know, I'm going to the vigil tonight for the 13th time.
No.
Yeah, 13th appearance at the Elvis Vigil.
So I have never been, and I'm kind
of. Have you not?
I have never been. What caused you to go the first time? And
I'll never forget the first time. I was at the Flying Saucer with some friends, and our old friend Craig Wack. He called me and he said, Do you like tailgating? Do you like drinking? And do you like people watching? And I was like, sure. And he's like, you got to come to the Elvis Vigil. And I was like, all right, sure, we'll come. And we went. And it was it's fascinating, Jeff, just because there are people from all over the world and people who set up these vigils on Elvis Presley Boulevard and set up these vigils and chalk drawings all over the street and things. And they just sit around. And I mean, these are people who were, you know, 70s, 80s, and you talk to them, and I'll never forget, there was a group of people from Cincinnati, and they were telling me about how they went to the Elvis concert when they were younger, and their mom didn't let them, so they had to sneak out and go to the Elvis concert, and then they got to the Elvis concert, and they sat in the first row, and he touched her hand, and she was a fan forever, and
wow.
She ended up getting in trouble from her mother, you know, and getting grounded because she snuck out, but now she's been to the vigil every single year since he died. They make the trip from Cincinnati, and just
okay, here's
to
the
go
thing,
around.
Do you need a, just like at Barbecue Fest, you're best off if you have an invitation to someone's, you know, someone's
right.
place where they've set. Do you need an invitation to a tailgate to enjoy? I presume
no.
You're at the Craig Wack tailgate here. Do I need a do I need to wrangle an invitation to a tailgate to enjoy this, or I just wander up and down?
No invitation is needed. Now, it used to be different. In the last couple of years, they started putting metal detectors and not allowing coolers, so you can't bring your coolers to the street with, like you used to. But they do sell beer now, so you can buy beer or buy drinks or whatever on the premises. But, I mean, you basically just go up and you walk around and you see these people. And if you're bold enough to just talk to them, I mean, I just go up to people and say, what's your story? What's your story with Elvis? Why the fascination? And these people go into these elaborate stories of just what he means to them and in their lives. And you're like, man, these people are from all over the world. And this is what he means to these people. I mean, the respect that you have for Elvis and what he meant to a generation of people is remarkable. And
so what time are you going? What time are you heading out tonight?
We'll get there probably about 10:30 is a good time. And then I've gone up to the, because you can go up to the gravesite as well. And I've done that maybe 4 or 5 times of the 13, because a lot of times the line is just way too long and I'm not going to stand in line for 4 hours
right.
to go up
yeah.
and pay my respects. But if the line's not that long, that's kind of a neat thing, because on the way up, they got flowers from all the fan clubs around the world. So to see those and then to go up and pay your respects at the gravesite, it's a neat experience. And I advise anyone who's from Memphis or lives here in Memphis, you need to at least try it once and be bold enough to talk to these people, because these people have incredible stories of why Elvis is so important in their life. And then just to see all the Elvis impersonators that are there is great. So I went the first time and I said, I'm going to go every year and I'm going to bring somebody new every year.
Really?
And every year I try to bring some new people and show them the Graceland. And tonight I'm going with a big group of people and looking forward to it.
Wow. All right, and before then, at 2:00, the NBA schedule drops. And I don't know if you have your game face on. You do a magnificent job of breaking down the schedule every year. I count on it, Rob, seeing your breakdown of the schedule. So how do you do it? Like, first of all, do you get it early? You can tell.
Well, considering I tweet out all my notes right at 2:00.
Oh, do you? Okay.
I'd be lying if I said I did it.
Okay. What time? So, do you have it? Do you have it?
I do not. No. But because the thing is, like, up until the last minute, there could be changes to the schedule. And a lot of times there are. Plus, the NBA is on lockdown
right.
With the schedule and not wanting any leaks. So I usually get it maybe an hour, 2 hours beforehand, and write all my notes, and then I'm ready to go at 2 o'clock.
So, okay. So what do you? Yeah, what's the
Grizzlies for allowing me to do that? By the way,
what do you look forward to? What are the key things to look for in this schedule? What are the key elements?
The first thing I always look to is the MLK Day game. I like to see who they're playing on MLK Day, what time the game is at, if they're given one of the primetime allotments on TNT or ESPN that day, and to see what channels it's on. I'm disappointed if it's not in a primetime slot. Right. I'm disappointed if it's not on TNT. So that's kind of what I look at first with the schedule is that day. And then, you know, I'll start looking at the longest road trips, the longest homestands, trying to figure out what's the toughest month, what's the easiest month as far as schedule is concerned. And, then look at the holidays and see if the Grizzlies are playing on holidays. One of the things that has been interesting the last couple of years, and I'll be interested to see what it is this year, is how many home Saturday games during college football. Now, last year, there was only one home Saturday game during all of college football.
Wow.
So I think that's, you know, that's pretty interesting. And that's good for the people here in Memphis, being college football town that we are. So I always look at that as well. And the number of back-to-backs and, you know, and then of course, I start looking at when we're going to Miami, when we're going to New York, and when we're going to L.A.,
And for you, of course, you're traveling, so that makes a huge difference. It's also then when LeBron is coming here. I mean, is it still still Lakers, Warriors? Like those are the ones? Those are the ones you circle?
I was trying to think of that today, and you know which games of interest I really want to highlight. And yeah, Jeff, I think it is. I think it is Lakers. I think it is Golden State. I mean, Minnesota, okay. Oklahoma City, okay. Denver. I mean,
they're clearly the leading competitors, but they're not the leading glamour franchises by any stretch.
Right. No, and it's still. I mean, still the Lakers. As long as they got LeBron, and as long as they got the purple and gold, they're going to be the marquee matchup for anybody. And so, I still think it's Lakers, Golden State. And, you know, maybe Boston, you know, being the champions last year, Boston's a good one. And, those are the ones I still think. Houston's interesting now with Dylan Brooks and Steven Adams. So we'll get our first look at both of them together with Houston. So I think that one's pretty interesting, too.
Do you think it's pretty well understood? I don't know that the Grizzlies have said it. Have they said it? I don't know. But everyone knows that Tony Allen's going to have his number retired this year. Do you think we're going to be able to tell? They're not announcing the date of that yet. But do you think, like, we had some ideas when Mark might have his retired. It didn't turn out to be because we were actually people thought it might be when Mike Conley was going to be in town, when the Timberwolves were visiting, like last year. It was sort of speculating. Do you think you'll be able to eyeball the schedule and have some sense? Maybe you know already if and when Tony's number is going to be retired. That won't be released today very clearly, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't know when it'll be. I don't know if it's set yet when that'll be. I don't know. I guess again, you could say when you play Minnesota, so Mike Conley
is down true. Again. Same thing.
I mean, if Mike would just go away, we could get this done with a lot easier.
And then, of course, there's the opener. Here's the other question. How important? I always look at the first 10 games, right, or 15 games. Like, how is this going to start? And it feels to me like, and maybe this is just, maybe this isn't real, but it feels to me like, given the way last year went, given the need for this team to reassert itself, you know, given the impatience that could quickly rise up around Taylor Jenkins if they don't get off to a good start, it feels to me this year, maybe more than some, important that they get off to a good start. Just to tell the league again, hey, yo, we're over here, you know, to remind everybody. Is that, I mean, in the end, that you'll play all 82. Maybe it doesn't really matter. The last 10 matter as much as the first 10. But do you think it is particularly meaningful for this team to get off to a good start this year?
Yes, and I think what would be helpful, and we've seen this a couple of times in the last handful of years where the Grizzlies have started the season with a West Coast trip. I would prefer that not be the case, that they have a West Coast trip right. to start the season, because those are very difficult. You know, and so, yeah, I the beginning of the season is very critical. And, you know, I was talking, Brevin Knight and I, on our podcast the other day, Night Court, I was saying that, you know, with the number, with no Christmas Day game for the Grizzlies this year, and just with all the talk about ranking teams and ranking players over the last couple of months, it truly has gotten to a point where we are a forgotten franchise. And this is the season to remind people of who we are. And I think a healthy start could go a long way in doing that. A healthy start could go a long way in all of a sudden Ja Morant being looked at again as a star in this league and one of the faces of the NBA. You know, a healthy start could get this team back, you know, in the top half of the Western Conference, and where I think they'll be this season. So, yeah, you'd love to have the schedule favorable at the start of the year. And I know for the Grizzlies' sake, in the last 5 years, you know, three of them have been very difficult starts to the season. Hopefully this year won't be the case.
Talking to Rob Fisher, again, the Holy Rosary run tomorrow, Saturday, I'm sorry, is a Saturday morning for a good cause, the Angel Program at Holy Rosary. And whether you're inclined to run or just contribute, head on over to the website and do that. Last thing, I haven't asked you about the summer. What did you think about the offseason for the Grizzlies? I don't know if you saw this. David Aldridge, who was a longtime respected NBA reporter, said the Grizzlies 30 out of 30 in their off. I just thought it was insanity. Yeah. Like, maybe you somewhat have wanted them to be more aggressive, but they basically filled their need. They brought back Luke Kennard, and they did it all while staying under the tax and preserving flexibility. I thought it was a tidy bit of business. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think what he doesn't understand is the Grizzlies' off season probably goes back toward last season.
Right.
You know, where, I mean, the guys that you have improved on this year from last year, G.G. Jackson now, I mean, he's emerged. Vince Williams Jr. has emerged. You needed a center. You got Zach Edey. The Luke Kennard signing. I think you have to count those other guys, too. I mean, those were guys that you found. I mean, don't you feel like G.G.'s kind of new to the mix and Vince is kind of new to the mix? Heck, Marcus Smart is new to the mix,
right?
For that matter, along with Zach Edey, which was your biggest need. So, it was uneventful, I would say that. But I think as far as what they needed and what they were hoping for, the offseason was great for the Grizzlies. I don't know what more you could have wanted from what they've gotten here in the last 8 months.
Rob, thanks very much for joining us. I appreciate it. Runs for Autism 5K. Let's see. The website is?
MemphisRunsForAutism.com.
MemphisRunsForAutism.com. Thanks so much, and we will be looking for your schedule breakdown promptly at 2 p.m. Thanks, Rob.
That's right, Jeff. Thank you very much. Yep. Appreciate it.
Good. Thanks so much. All right, we are going to play Righter Than Right trivia next. Jeffrey, what is the fabulous prize package?
Jeff, we have a triple prize pack that includes two passes to the FedEx St. Jude Championship.
Today or tomorrow.
Right? Yep. Uh-huh. Also, two tickets to see the Black Crows. That's at Bank Plus Amphitheater in October, as well as two tickets to 901 Wrestling's final battle at Black Lodge this Saturday. So we're calling it the Black Birdies prize pack.
Three prizes. We'll take caller number three. Phone number is 445-0929, 445-0929. If you would like to be righter than right, just got to play with honor. If you can best Jeffrey, that would be great. Before that, while we await your calls, 445-0929 for that to win that fabulous prize package. I will tell you, over at FanDuel, this is the moment to get your bets in on the NFL futures. That's right. Whatever you think is going to be happening in the NFL, if you have a conviction about who is going to win the Super Bowl, who's going to be in the playoffs, how many games X team is going to win, player props, passing yards, touchdowns, all that. Now's the time to log your bet over at FanDuel. And right now, new customers, win one measly $5 bet. If your first $5 bet wins, you get $150 in bonus bets to bet on whatever you like. All you got to do is FanDuel.com/Calkins. That's the promo code, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. We will play Righter Than Right Trivia with Kevin Cerrito when we return. It's Jeff Calkins Show on a Thursday, 92.9 FM ESPN. Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Kevin Cerrito, the czar of entertainment and fun and games here in Memphis, Tennessee. There was sad news this week as Matt Martin, who owns Black Lodge, announced that Black Lodge would be closing. I guess one last show this weekend. We've included it in the prize package. Kevin, just what was your reaction to the news? It's a sad day for all those people who really enjoyed this unique gathering place.
Yeah, it's definitely sad news. So Black Lodge is closing. It was originally a video store in Cooper Young. It moved out to Crosstown and became an event venue as well. So it was a video store up front, and all the racks would move. So when we do the wrestling show, like most of the racks of all the movies and Blu-rays and all that, they move those out of the way to put rows and rows of chairs. We set the ring up in the middle, and it's such a unique Memphis experience. I mean, 901 Wrestling in general will continue after this weekend. It's the last 901 Wrestling show there because Black Lodge is closing, but it has been the home venue for 901 Wrestling for now 3 years. We just realized it's the anniversary week this week. It's been 3 years that we've been doing shows at Black Lodge. And we before that, pre-COVID, we were doing shows at Rec Room, which of course is no longer open as well. It was a victim of the pandemic. But 901 Wrestling will continue, but this weekend, if you ever wanted to experience professional wrestling in the back of a video store, I don't think you'll ever have another chance in your lifetime to do that. The final battle at Black Lodge is this weekend. Tickets are available at 901wrestling.com. I invite you to come out. I'll be there hosting it on stage with Anthony Sane, and it's going to be a wild night for sure. It's going to be a wild night anyway, but when we found out earlier in the week it was going to be the last one, it's going to be a crazy party. There's such a fun vibe in that building every time we do a show, and I know it's going to be crazy this weekend. So we're giving away tickets today. You can get your tickets, though, 901wrestling.com. Tickets are still available. You want to be a part of it Saturday night, 7 o'clock at Black Lodge. They are closing, but they're still open for the rest of this weekend, so you can come out and party with us.
All right. We are playing Righter Than Right Trivia. Jeffrey, what is the full prize, and who is our competitor?
Jeff, we are playing for a triple prize pack, passes to go see the FedEx St. Jude Championship today or tomorrow, as well as tickets to see the Black Crows in October at Bank Plus Amphitheater, as well as tickets to 901 Wrestling's final show at Black Lodge. And Jeff, we welcome Malcolm Rawls to the program, former East High guy, former Tennessee Vol signee, former Memphis Tiger. Pleased to have Malcolm on the program.
Malcolm, I didn't realize you were a trivia savant as well. Malcolm, are you there?
We should be.
All right, there's Malcolm. There he is. Well, we appreciate you joining the show. I hope you can beat Jeffrey. I'm going to turn matters over to Kevin. Best of luck.
Yeah, hopefully you can do something that just really never, ever happens. Jeffrey has got a great streak this year, and we're back to the current events era today. So I'll be asking you questions about stuff that's been going on in the news. It's been a few weeks, so we've got a bunch of stuff to pick from here. All questions about what's been going on in the news. Malcolm, you'll have a choice of two topics. Whatever you do not choose will automatically go to Jeffrey. He can steal from you one time, unless it's a 50-50 question, and vice versa. So y'all can steal from each other just one time throughout the regulation of the game. All you gotta do is play honorably to win the triple prize pack. It's a triple threat, Jeffrey, right?
Indeed.
Because there's wrestling tickets in there as well. We're going to start with celebrities or politicians. Which one you want, Malcolm?
Celebrities.
Celebrities. Tell me, who is older, the vice president's new VP running mate, Tim Walz, or Brad Pitts?
I'm going to go Walz.
Was that? Who is older?
Walz. He said Walz.
Walz, that is incorrect. Brad Pitt is older than Tim Walz. Tim Walz turned 61, Brad Pitt turned 61 in December. They're both 60 right now. So Brad Pitt, a little bit older than the VP candidate. Yeah, you don't think about that. But politicians for you, Jeffrey.
Hooray.
Tim Walz is the first person on a Democratic presidential ticket not to have attended law school since which decade, the 1980s or the 1990s?
Okay, so.
First person on a Democratic presidential ticket not to have attended law school.
I'm going to say the 90s would have been definitely. I'm going to say 80s.
80s is correct. Jimmy Carter was the last person on a Democratic presidential ticket not to attend law school. He ran, of course, president in 1980. Al Gore, our very own Al Gore, I think went to law school, but I don't know if he ended up becoming a lawyer.
Clinton's lawyer, right?
Clinton was, absolutely.
Yeah, Clinton was.
Clinton was one to nothing. Yeah, Jeffrey Lee.
Al Gore did attend law school. All right, phones or films now, Malcolm? Phones or films?
Films.
The Disney had their big D23 event this week, announcing oodles of upcoming projects. They announced the upcoming sequel for the film Freaky Friday. I'm going to give you four names of a possible sequel to Freaky Friday. Tell me what name they went with as the sequel title for Freaky Friday, which will be coming out next year. Is it called A, Freaky Friday, B, Freaky Saturday, C, Next Freaky Friday, or D, Freakier Friday? Which one of those is the name of the sequel to Freaky Friday coming out next year? Freaky Friday. D, Freaky Saturday?
Yeah.
Freaky Saturday is incorrect. Jeffrey, we are allowing steals on multiple choice questions.
It's Freakier Friday.
It is Freakier Friday. That is
Jeffrey
correct.
Jeffrey takes it 2-0 late. Jeffrey takes it 2-0 late. And he has control of the board.
You're going to play honorably.
You are playing honorably, Malcolm. Yes. We appreciate that. Yes.
Jeffrey, you get phones. Due to new regulation in the country of Turkey, which of the following can you not access in the country? A, Instagram, B, TikTok, C, Roblox, or D, Candy Crush?
All right, so one more time.
Due to new regulation in the country of Turkey, which of the following can you not access in that country? A, Instagram, B, TikTok, C, Roblox, or D, Candy Crush?
I'm going to say Instagram.
Instagram is incorrect.
Oh, Malcolm can steal. Right back in it.
Malcolm, do you want to steal?
Yes.
All right, what are you going to say?
Can you say the topics again?
What was that?
Say, give him the choices again.
Oh, the choices, yes. We have TikTok, Roblox, or Candy Crush.
Which you cannot get in Turkey.
TikTok.
TikTok is also incorrect.
Oh, come on. Really?
I figured Turkey and China have decent relations, so I didn't
know. Oh, I see. You didn't go TikTok there. What is it?
So it's Roblox, which they are saying is harmful for kids. Almost every kid in this country plays this game. Every kid I know, every one of my nieces and nephews, my kid doesn't, but other kids I know plays Roblox. I don't know. They say it's harmful for kids, so maybe we'll be
learning about this soon. 2-0.
But,
2-0.
But Roblox is in fact blocked.
There it is.
In Turkey. But Jeffrey, to your credit, Instagram just a few days ago got unblocked. They blocked it for 9 days, and then it's now accessible to kids. So hey, you were kind of, you almost had it. Science or art now, Malcolm?
Science.
What annual meteor shower peaked on Sunday as the Earth passed through a debris trail left by the comet Swift-Tuttle? Very scientific question.
Halley's Comet.
That is incorrect. We're looking for a meteor shower, Perseides, P-E-R-S-E-I-D.
Of course. There's no way anyone's getting, even with a Tennessee education, you're not getting Perseides. Come on, that's preposterous. All right.
He went science.
He's self-inflicted.
Hooray, right, art. Let's go. I'll get this, I'm sure.
For the second year in a row, Jeffrey, a life-size statue of former Hawkeyes basketball player Caitlin Clark is now on display at the Iowa State Fair. What material is the statue made out of?
Oh, God.
So it's Iowa State Fair.
Okay, it's cheese or butter. I'm going butter.
Butter is correct.
It's butter. Yeah, it's butter.
Butter.
Yeah. Okay, so the score is now 3-0. Are we down to the finals? Are we up to the finals?
Is it 3-0? No, not
one more round. One more round.
Yeah. One more round. Yeah. There's a chance to come back. Musicals or musicians, Malcolm?
Musicians.
Bando Stone in the New World is the most recent and possibly last album that Who will release using his alias Childish Gambino.
Danny Glover. Glover.
Glover. He's going with just the last name Glover. We will accept that because it is Donald Glover. We'll count that.
Jeffrey's rolling his eyes over there. He doesn't like the judging. But we give it to him.
I play the rules.
We're also giving Jordan Childs the bronze. Yes. So it's now 3-1. Back to Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, you get musical set in Hawkins, Indiana. What TV show is being adapted into a Broadway stage play called The First Shadow?
What's the Netflix? Stranger Things.
Stranger Things is correct.
4-1.
Back to Kurt Benson. Jeffrey's right. Back to dominating here.
We are down to our final round. Malcolm is betting his one, I'm sure, and Jeffrey is also betting one. Over to Malcolm first.
You want question A or B? We got fast food here, Malcolm. What's the category? You want A or B?
A.
Question A. Starbucks has recently replaced their CEO with Brian Nickel, who was most recently the CEO credited with turning around what other chain?
Wendy's.
Sadly. Did you already steal, Jeffrey? Yeah, you already tried.
It's Chipotle.
It's Chipotle. We discussed this with a fisherman. And we got to finish the round, though. We have to finish the round, or people get angry. Go ahead.
So you need to listen to the show every day and every segment.
Thank you.
You know, that's what y'all need to do. Then you can beat Jeffrey. That's what you never know when you're going to get a hidden answer on another segment on this show. Jeffrey, after more than a decade away, what fast food chain is bringing back its banana pudding milkshake?
Chick-fil-A.
Boy, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. This is a bit of a... But listen, Malcolm played honorably. That is a correct answer. Yeah, it's a correct answer. I've never had it, but I hear it's delicious. Malcolm, did you tell him how he gets...
I've already got his info, Malcolm. Right. Congratulations,
Malcolm. You'll be getting your stuff. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Good. All right, so there you go. Once again, Jeffrey rolls. Kevin, where are you going to be? Where are your people going to be in the coming week?
Well, hidden in this Chick-fil-A story, by the way, they're coming out with a banana frosted coffee as well. They're debuting that.
I heard someone talking about the banana pudding milkshake on a national show this week, and they were raving about it. It was over the weekend, and they were just raving about it. It made their day that the banana pudding milkshake was back at Chick-fil-A. And I confess, I am susceptible to the power of suggestion. I wanted a banana pudding milkshake, although I've never had one. Have either of you?
They have one at Cookout.
I've had the Cookout one, but I've not had the Chick-fil-A one.
Good? Cookout one's good?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. But the thing about banana pudding, to me, it's hard. It's one of those things that's definitely not great if it's not truly what it is, right? So how much real banana pudding ingredients are you putting in there? Because if it's just the
taste of it, that's not great. You want banana pudding to be banana pudding. I see. You don't want banana pudding flavored.
You're putting in the wafers. I mean, you're putting in the wafers and stuff. Or what do you? You can't go fake on the ingredients. It really needs to be. I like homemade banana pudding. So we'll see.
Fake banana is not a great flavor.
Fake banana is not a great flavor. I can see that. I don't know. I think the thing that is. Watermelon is where I go there. I like real watermelon. Watermelon flavored anything? No, thank you.
This doesn't compare. You can't get the refreshing part of it.
Get the whole thing, right?
But anyway, go to SerenaEntertainment.com if you want to find out where we're playing. We got trivia and music bingo happening tonight. We're still on the rooftop of the Hyatt every Thursday night, and we're playing trivia at four locations, including our newest one at the Evergreen Grill in Midtown, SerenaEntertainment.com. But join me this Saturday. Promise you'll have a great time. You come on out to Black Lodge for the final battle at Black Lodge 901 Wrestling. Closing out the venue, the final Saturday night at Black Lodge this weekend. Tickets are at 901wrestling.com.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
If you are in the market for a tractor, I would suggest you go to Mid-South Ag Equipment right there on Highway 302 in Byhalia. If you're not in the market for a tractor, you should be. And then you should go to Mid-South Ag Equipment right there on Highway 302 in Byhalia. If you have a big piece of land or you got a garden or you're bush hogging or whatever it is, I'm not talking about a giant farm tractor. I'm talking about a smaller Case IH tractor. I saw them at the Erie County Fair up in Buffalo this past weekend. 140 horsepower or less, exactly what you need. It's a tractor. It's just not a monster tractor. And right now they're in stock, and they've got 0% financing. Again, it's Mid-South Ag Equipment. Go get your tractor. Highway 302 in Byhalia. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Have a good day.
All right, back on the Jeff Hawkins Show. In honor of Charles Fishman, our man Fish on Friday on Tuesday, I will tell you that Walmart reported today. He makes this argument that Walmart, and I kind of buy it, like that represents the economy, right? Like,
sure.
If, like, people shopping, right? And Walmart had a crushing, tremendous quarter and said that they don't see any weakness in the economy, basically, any flagging of the economy. And given that inflation was coming down, now people were worried about, well, okay, but what's going to happen here? Are you know, with the soft jobs, or like, are we going to end it towards recession? And Walmart's saying things are looking beautiful. So the stock market's roaring today, and Fishman would be pleased that we at least mentioned that Walmart is feeling pretty sunny about the prospects of the economy in this country going forward. We do have a golf tournament underway, Jeffrey. People should head on out to the FedEx St. Jude Championship today. I have it on good report. It's going to be 72 degrees and a nice little breeze. Who's currently leading, Jeffrey?
Jeff, Ben Griffin currently leads the way. He's 5-under through 16 holes. He leads by 1 over Tommy Fleetwood and Chris Kirk. Justin Rose, Tom Kim, Cameron Young are 2 back. Rory McIlroy and a handful of others also 3 back at 2-under.
Thank you for listening, everybody. We will be back tomorrow. For now, work is done.